Blog Talk Radio.
This is Lori Smith. This is One Child Abuse Survivor to Another Restoration, and I'm glad to be here. It's Monday night, July 8th, 2019, in Calgary, Alberta, same place, same as usual. And, I'm just glad to be able to continue doing these shows, and I appreciate everybody who's taken the time to listen and who's tuning into my shows. It's very nice of you. Hopefully you're getting something out of it. That's, what I'm working with and things that I'm looking at may not be useful for you or really, pertain to your situation, but I always find, some of the information can be helpful. So hopefully you're getting something out of it. And we're looking at boundary issues, and that's from Havoca.org, H-A-V-O-C-A, Havoca, Help for Adult Victims of Child Abuse. They have some great info on their website under the information tab for survivors. And you can go there and check it out, and that's where we're getting this information from. So we'll continue on, and it's Monday night again. The week's just rolled by. How am I doing on my healing journey? I'm doing pretty good. How am I feeling? Let's see. Lately, I was a bit overwhelmed. I was just looking for a job and just so many things going on. My husband passed away almost a year ago. Next month it'll be 1 year. And so it's been very stressful and difficult to deal with. I didn't take any time off really when he passed away. I took like 10 days off or something from work just to do what I needed to do for, his passing away. And then I got right back to work. I don't even think it was 10 days that I took off, not quite, because I needed the money, And I'm just living paycheck to paycheck. And so I worked through the winter, and it was a long winter without him. I was grieving and working in a different setting. And that didn't go well. And so it just seemed like one thing after another. I lose my husband, and then I just end up in this horrible situation. And so I didn't have a lot of time to focus on my healing journey. I was mainly trying to just focus on keeping the faith alive, and keeping myself alive. And it's like, I can do this, but I can't, I was really reaching out, I'm a Christian, so I was really reaching out to God for help and struggling really for basically this whole year. But these shows are helpful because they do help me to keep going on my healing journey, which I need to do. And so where I'm at tonight, I'm happy I finally found some work, and I'm so thankful because I was just getting ready to move on to the street shortly. And I wasn't sure how long I was going to be able to do these shows because I was like, well, this might be the end of it if I can't keep my internet going. It was getting that serious. So it's like, I was just about ready to be homeless here. So I'm really thankful. I'm humbled and thankful. And, there's so many people that need help. It's just unbelievable. I look around and I just see the fallen state of a lot of people, who need help, and there just doesn't seem to be any help for them. And I know because, I've been to the you know, to the edge of the pit, really, you know, and back. So it's tough. And I would say, you know, we just have to keep going. There's no choice. You can't just sit down and give up. That's what I say. Don't give up. Just keep going. Keep reaching out. Right. And so that's what I basically keep doing. I had some good friends, two good friends here in Calgary who basically took me under their wing after my husband passed away. And they've really been a big, huge help for me, even though, you know, I try not to bother them with my personal problems and issues, you know, and try not to be too much of a heavy load on them. But they are such good people, such good friends of mine, Tiffany and Gord. They just carry my burdens with me. Like, they help me to carry my burdens. It's very nice to have people in your life that will do that for you. You know, especially for survivors of abuse. So many of us are coming from families that are broken up and never were really a family. And so there's nobody to lean on there. And you go out into the world and you find a bunch of sharks. And then sometimes you find a good person. I'm telling you, if you find a good person, you gotta hang on to them. I just reconnected with my bestie, Donna. And she's my bestie from Dreamcatcher days and when I was with Dreamcatchers for Abused Children. And she's just such a beautiful person. And I reconnected with her. And, you know, these people in your life, you know, you don't want to let go of them. You don't want to push them out. Boundary issues are a huge problem for survivors of abuse. So that's why we're looking at this boundary stuff. You know, we have to learn this stuff if we weren't taught it. So that's what we're looking at. But how am I doing on my journey? I think I'm doing pretty good, hanging in there. So hopefully you are too. And that's all I can say. It's so difficult sometimes. And that's why we just have to keep reaching out, right? So we'll get right into this. If you're a survivor of abuse, you want to make sure you're safe enough to be listening. I always say this on all the shows. Get that information from different places like ASCA, Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, a Amora Center program. They have a safety first chapter in the Survivor to Thriver workbook. You can get that there. It's free. And you can read it right online. You don't even have to download it or anything. Just read it right online. That's the Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, a Amora Center program. Or there's NASCA. That's who I volunteer with. That's NAASCA, National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. We have safety first information there. Learn how to keep yourself safe if you're a survivor of abuse and you're just starting on your healing journey and you don't know if you'd be safe enough to listen to anything like this. You want to make sure you're safe enough before you do because you don't want to hurt yourself and or hurt somebody else or just regress backward in your healing journey. You know, you have to be really careful. So make that decision for yourself and, you know what's right for you. And then, you know, if you have to, turn the show off and then come back some other time when you're stronger or you just feel like you're more able to cope with the information. Anybody else who's listening, you know, I'm talking about abuse. It's a serious subject, very sensitive subject, and it's not, you know, it's very uncomfortable for most people. So if you're not comfortable listening to topics of abuse and violence and that sort of thing, then you want to turn the show off. You know, you won't be hurting my feelings at all. So we'll get right into this here. We're looking at the rest of this article. Still have a few more pieces to it, but we're getting closer. This is the negotiation section of personal boundaries. So we're sort of winding it up. They said here, I'm not going to repeat. You can just go back and check out the last show from where we left off. It's a guy writing this, and he says, I came to the realization that anyone who is a friend is someone I can communicate with and am able to negotiate boundaries with. The vast majority of boundaries are, in fact, a negotiation rather than a rigid line in the sand. Adults need to negotiate boundaries between themselves, and this is very true in romantic relationships and is the standard for all relationships. So he says, what we are striving for is healthy interdependent relationships. We want friends who are allies. With alliances, it is necessary to negotiate boundaries. So he says, here's what I'm willing to do, and here's what I need from you. We want a romantic relationship with a partner who will share our journey with us. In order to make that possible, it is necessary to communicate, share feelings, and negotiate agreements about behavior. And by setting boundaries, we are communicating with another person. We are telling them who we are and what we need. And it is much more effective to do that directly and honestly than to expect them to read our minds and then punish them when they cannot. That's very true. And that's a huge issue for survivors of abuse, especially because, you know, boundaries were crossed or just never existed. And so later on as an adult trying to figure out, you know, or even as an adult coming from an abusive adult relationship, like domestic violence or whatever, it's very difficult then to learn how to state our needs because our needs were not met. Maybe we were growing up in a situation, I know I grew up in a situation where I was not allowed to voice my needs or concerns. Just, you know, anytime I voiced my needs or concerns, it was a problem. So I would just either be verbally abused or physically abused. So my needs were not met and I wasn't allowed to say what I needed. So, you know, I just grew up not really knowing how to set boundaries, you know, and how to get my needs met and how to share my feelings about my needs. Because if I do, then I feel like I'm a problem. You know, oh, it's an issue. Even as an adult, I know if I share a need with a friend, they're probably not going to beat me up, right? Or throw me out of the house. But the issue is, because it's my house. But the issue is it could cause a rift in the relationship. That's how I feel. They may then, you know, like this gentleman was saying earlier in this article, if he says anything, you know, then he's afraid that he'll lose his friends if he actually sets boundaries. And we were talking about that a few shows back, you know, that's very possible because the minute a person does state their needs and share with whoever they're, you know, whether it's a friend or, you know, a partner, husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, partner, you know, somebody in your life that you share, you know, your needs with, and you say, look, you know, this is what I need from you, and this is, you know, what I'm going to do, and so I need this back from you, you know, respect or whatever it is, right? It could cause problems, because it quite often does. But it's better, like he says, you know, it's better than expecting people to read our minds, what our needs are, and then punishing them somehow, silent treatment or blowing them off or ending their friendship or whatever when they can't. So whatever the issue is, you know, it's true. We have to, we as adults should be allowed to share what our needs are, you know, and expect that the person that we're sharing this with in our life is going to care enough to want to do that for us, you know, as much as possible so that we can have this relationship. Because most people, you know, I mean, pushy people have no problems telling you what their needs are. I've met lots and lots of pushy people. They have no problems at all stating what their needs are and getting their needs met. They don't care how they get them met most of the time because they're pushy. But the issue is in, you know, other people, like people who are shy or maybe, you know, just don't know how to stand up for themselves and don't even know that they should. And then there's people that were abused that just don't want to make waves because, you know, it's going to cause problems and, you know, then they're not going to like me or whatever the issue is, you know, then we don't get our needs met. And then we're the ones that suffer in the relationship. Well, it's not right, right? We need to make sure if our needs are not getting met in a relationship, that we communicate this with them. And I agree what he's saying there. It is important. It's hard to do. It's especially hard to do when that someone has control or some sort of power over you, for instance, like a boss or something. I have a difficult time with that. Because they don't generally want to hear that you have needs. Most bosses don't. And it's kind of like, well, you know, I just need you to treat me with decency and respect. I mean, most bosses are like, be like, well, it's not going to happen. So there's the door. You don't like it. Too bad. Go. Because I can find 10 other people that are willing to take my crap. Right? And that's the truth of it. People will do anything for, you know, for me, I'm like, no, no. There just comes a point where I'll take so much garbage from people, you know, I'll treat them decently and I'll be good and I'll be kind and I'll be gracious. I'll be humble. I'll be whatever they need me to be for a certain period of time until it's like overload. And then it's like a little button goes off and they say, that's it, done, you know. How much more of this can a person take? It's not right that we should have to take abuse from anybody, you know, but it's true, and we will, and we always will have to take abuse from people. Because people, there's always going to be abusive people. You can't get away from that. You know, as a survivor of child abuse, you know, you grow up and you think, well, I survived that mess, you know, so now I'm free and clear as an adult to not have to experience any more abuse from anybody. That's not true. Bosses abuse people. coworkers can do that. Coworkers can be abusive. Friends can be abusive. You know, other distant family members can be abusive. Neighbors can be abusive. I mean, this is how people are. And it's really not right. And why they would expect that we should take their garbage is beyond me. But they do. They just figure that should be just fine, that they've walked all over us, and we should just take it and expect that they're going to walk on us again tomorrow. For me, I don't tolerate that stuff very well because I was abused as a child. And I'm like, look, I mean, I wasn't just abused for like 1 year and then, you know, hunky-dory, everything was great. I mean, or even 6 months or like even 20 or like 2 years or 4 years or whatever. You know, I just grew up in this mess. And I'm like, you know, I'm done with that. If a person isn't going to treat me decently, I'll stick around for a little while just to see if they're going to change and see if things will go a little bit better. But man, I tell you, I don't take it very long. And then I'm like, you know what? No. You don't respect my needs. You don't respect what I need. And what, you know, and I'm going to treat you with dignity and respect, and I don't get that back. I'm gone or you're gone, whatever. But that's just the way I operate because I'm like, life is too short. And if we don't stand up for ourselves, who's going to stand up for us? Not very many people, you know? So we have to be able to share these things and then not explode on people when, you know, if we don't share what our needs are and we don't communicate those needs and expect that people would know what those needs are, and then when they don't, blow up at them, that doesn't work either, right? But, you know, I mean, for instance, in my own situation with my own husband, with that just passed away, poor man, he was so sick. But anyway, you know, we had to communicate what our needs were, you know, because otherwise we'd be bickering. And, you know, we had our trials too and troubles, and we had to learn how to negotiate these boundaries. It's like, okay, you know, I mean, we got to the point where we were like, yeah, let's share our feelings. Let's do this right. You know, we were together 23 years. And it was an amazing 23-year relationship because we really cared enough about each other to make those changes. And that's the issue. See, bosses don't generally care that much about their staff to make those changes. If they're abusive or hostile or whatever, they're like, whatever, I can find 10 other people that'll take my crap. You know what I mean? They don't care. And so, but friends are a little different. And, you know, most friends, not all, because I've had friends just dump me out of their life for no reason. But I've done that to other people. See? It can go both ways. So we have to be really careful not to become those other people that are so rigid in our boundaries that if somebody crosses them, we're booting them out. It's like, oh, you crossed my boundary, you're out, you're gone. I've kind of gone that way. I've gone the opposite of just becoming, okay, I can set boundaries and I know where these boundaries should be in my life, and I'll communicate with the person what the boundary is. And then when they don't, I'm like, well, you're cut off. And they're just, I don't give people time to adjust with these boundaries and, or even give them a chance to try to think about it, you know? And I think that's, and that's coming from being abused. You know, I'm like, you know, I'm done with that. I'm done with people treating me like garbage. And it's like, we're always going to have people treating us like garbage at some point. There will be the situation that will come up. It'll be somebody out of the blue, you know, that will treat us like garbage. But we have to care enough about ourselves, you know, and care enough about, you know, who we are and that, you know, we don't deserve to be treated like that to be able to stand up for ourselves without getting irate, you know, and just kicking them out of our lives before we try to fix the situation. For me, I mean, I would say it's probably a good idea to, you know, get the person to understand that, yeah, we do have these needs. Something's not right, obviously, because we're feeling like our needs are not being met in whatever relationship type situation it is. And then, you know, calmly give them a chance to actually see if they're going to actually do that to try to make it work, right? And then if they don't, what are we left with? The option of just allowing them to continue to hurt us and to not care about our boundaries, or we can just leave the relationship, right? There's really, that's what it comes down to. And it's tough. It is. Because a lot of these people, this would be maybe like a husband or a wife or boyfriend or girlfriend or, you know, partner, you know, somebody you love, somebody you care about. That's why it's difficult, right? If you didn't care, it wouldn't matter. It's kind of like if you had a boss you didn't like, you'd be like, whatever, I'll just go get a better job. But the issue, when it's a situation where you love this person, you care about them, and they're still hurting you, and they don't care about your boundaries, what are you supposed to do? That's the situation with my siblings. I was talking about that last week and the week before, I think, but last week especially. You know, my siblings, I mean, I love them, but I'm not going to allow them to treat me the way that they've always treated me, with complete disregard and complete disrespect. And they would laugh and they'd say, that's not true, but it is true. God's my witness. See, I don't need any other witnesses, because I've got God as my witness, and that's good. That's good. That's all I need. He knows. He saw it. He saw the way they treat me. And it's like, and they would say, well, what's wrong with that? You know what I mean? It's like, you know, just like my sister. Like, what's wrong with mom bashing your head in with a rolling pin, cracking your skull, you know? I mean, my mother used to just hurt me incredibly bad, you know? And my sister just thinks, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, whatever. It's like, no, there is something wrong with that, you know? So you can't, you know, you got to kind of wonder about people like that. Do you really want people like that in your life that don't care about you? It's not cool. It's not okay. You know, I've got friends that actually care about me a whole lot more than my siblings do. I've got friends that actually really care about me, and they're nice to me, and they do all they can to try to make up really for the fact that I was abused as a child. They feel bad for me, and they're like, you didn't deserve that, man. And they're right. I didn't deserve that, but, you know, it's not their fault, but they care enough about me to try to be good to me. That's the kind of friends we want. So when he's talking here about allies, you know, we want allies in our relationships. We want friends who are allies, like these alliances. You got to be careful who you make alliances with, you know. Watch who you're getting into a relationship with. We want friends who are allies, absolutely, because we don't need any more enemies, you know, coming from abuse. Who needs more enemies, right? But we then also need to watch what we're doing. And when somebody communicates with us what their needs are, we need to make sure that we're going to, if we care enough about them, that we're going to do all we can to change our behavior, whatever we're doing that's bothering them. So it works both ways. It doesn't just work one way. It has to work both ways. That's the reason why my marriage worked so well with my husband, because it was a both-way, two-way street. It was like, we both did our part to make it work. And that's the only way it works. It's not just a one-way thing, right? So it's quite interesting. I think this article is great. And it goes on for a little bit here. How much time do we have left here? We've got 7 minutes. Okay, we'll finish up the rest of that next time. And you can grab that from Havoca, H-A-V-O-C-A, Havoca.org. And if you want to pick up the rest of that. But we're going to look at the rest of that article next week. For tonight, I think what we'll do for the rest of this is we'll just look at positive reinforcement. We haven't been doing these. I've been just focusing on this article because it was so lengthy. But we'll look at positive reinforcement. What are we doing right in our daily walk? Looking at positives and progress instead of negative thoughts. You know, because that's important, right? I mean, we do need to have some positive reinforcement in there. What am I doing right instead of what am I doing wrong all the time? Well, I'm still going on my healing journey. I think that's right. And I'm still trying to take care of my needs and make sure that, you know, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing to take care of myself. And I think that's a positive move. I'm still working on it. We can look at some sort of, these are self-esteem quotes, but or not so much quotes, but sort of things that we could look at and we could say and tell ourselves and see where we stand at it, right? This one it's from Havoca as well. It's their self-esteem stuff. It says, I am motivated and have a mission with realistic and measurable goals. So we could tell ourselves that if we're a peak performer. I'm not a peak performer. I'm not a perfectionist. And I really don't try to be, because I know that I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. And I'm not even a peak performer, because it's like, no, I just do the best I can every day. And, you know, that's really at the end of the day, that's all we can do, right? This is, I am motivated and have a mission with realistic and measurable goals. That's kind of true, actually. I'm motivated, actually. I'm very motivated as an individual. And it's just because I have to, because I don't have anybody to rely on. Just, I only have God. So, I mean, it's like, I got to get up. I got to do stuff. I don't have, you know, I have to be motivated. Otherwise, nothing, I'll just have to lay down and just wait till, you know, I leave this earth, you know. We all have to be motivated sometime. I have a mission with realistic and measurable goals. I have to be realistic and measurable with my goals. I set really short-term goals is what I do. I don't set too many long-term goals because long-term goals can get a little difficult to circumnavigate. I do little short-term manageable, measurable goals for myself because that way, once that one is done, you know, and I actually finish it, and I say, oh, well, that turned out okay. That's all right. Or if I did a great job, I'll be like, right on, you know, that was good, or whatever these little goals are. Because if I set them too many goals or too high or whatever, it's very disappointing when I can't, you know, achieve that goal. So I set mainly sort of shorter-term goals, and I don't worry about so many long-term goals. I'm just trying to get through till tomorrow, basically. I'm not too worried about the next week or so. Just kind of like, well, no, I'll just set some goals. You know, I'm going to try to eat healthier. Oh, I'm going to try to do some stretches and stuff and try to, you know, get some more exercise or whatever, which I'm sort of failing at. But I'm working at it. I'm working at it. You know, it's a work in progress. or I'm trying to quit smoking. That I've been trying to do that for like 30 years or something like that. So, I mean, that just hasn't happened. But the issue is I'm working on it. I'm still working on it. So it's, you know, if we set too many goals that are too high, I think it's really a disappointment when we don't get them, you know, depending on what the goal is. Here's another one. I accept complete responsibility for everything I think, say, feel, and do. That's a peak performer's positive reinforcement thing, we could say. I accept complete responsibility for everything I think, say, feel, and do. Actually, I do try to do that because that all stems from my abusive parents who never took responsibility for anything and my siblings who don't either. So I saw firsthand what that's all about. So I'm like, no, I don't want to be my parents. So I take responsibility for everything that I do, everything that I think, everything that I say. Complete responsibility. Absolutely. Because I want to be one of these people that's held accountable for my behavior and my actions because my parents weren't. And they were allowed to do whatever they wanted. And my brother was allowed to rape me as a child. So, I mean, you know, he didn't have to take responsibility. He didn't take any responsibility for that either. He just killed himself at the age of 33. But the issue is like, you know, do I want to be somebody who doesn't take responsibility? I definitely don't, you know, because there's too many people like that on the earth, and that's ridiculous. We all have to be responsible for our behavior, right? What we do, what we say to other people, you know, how we feel, what I'm thinking. I'm responsible for that, right? And what I say, I'm responsible for that. I'm the one saying it, so obviously I need to take responsibility. And for everything that I do, for everything. I mean, I do try to be that type. And, you know, when I screw up, man, and I do screw up, and when I do screw up, I usually screw up really bad. So then I, you know, no matter how much time has gone by, I try to make it right. You know, in relationships or whatever. I mean, I cut people out of my life that I, you know, stupidly, you know, do stuff like that to protect myself. And then I have to be responsible for that. You know, it's kind of like, you know, I have to make up for it. So, yeah, I apologize when I need to try to make things right. Sometimes it'll be a little while till I figure it out. But, you know, it's like it's better late than never. But the thing is we have to be responsible for what we're doing. We are completely responsible for everything we do, think, say, and feel. So that puts the control in my court. I got the ball, you know. And then that helps me to learn how to be an adult, right? And, you know, if everybody would do that, we'd have a whole lot less problems on the earth, you know, like if parents would take complete responsibility for what they do, you know, or husbands and wives, you know, whatever, girlfriends, boyfriends, people need to do that. Very, very important. And so, yeah, we'll have to pick up here another time. We've got about 1 minute left. And let's see here. I'll do a brainy quote. How about this? Only I can change my life. No one can do it for me. Carol Burnett. And that's from brainyquote.com. Only I can change my life. No one can do it for me. That's true. We have to make these changes. And you have to make these changes. You have to stick it out. And, you know, if you're listening tonight and you're like, I just have no idea how I'm going to even, like, get through tomorrow. I'm telling you what, there's resources out there. There is, but you have to keep looking for them. Nobody's going to come and hand it to you. It's not going to happen. You have to be the one to go out there and get it done, right? Keep reaching out. Do not give up. I'm telling you. You're the one that has to do it. You know why? Because nobody knows most of the time that we're having problems. Start making some phone calls. You know, information services, whatever, contact anybody at NASCA, NAASCA.org. That's where I volunteer with. And also I volunteer with the ASCA, Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, a Morris Center program. Contact somebody there. They'll help you get some resources. They'll find somebody that can. They'll find somebody if they can't. They'll find somebody who can. But you reach out and you make a phone call. If you don't want to do that, call a crisis line anonymously. But do whatever you have to do. You make a phone call. You get some help. And you get through this night, and then you come back, and you meet me here next Monday, and we'll do this over again. This is what I do every day, day to day. You know, I start again, and that's what I'm asking you to do, too. Do not give up, whatever you do. Have a great night, everybody, and we'll talk to you real soon. Take good care of yourself.